problem.
Yeah, I think, and I think that's going to have to be on a case-by-case basis, and we're going to have to say no, we're going to have the applicant affirm, or the applicant's engineer affirm that there's no danger, and we're going to probably have to give that to the water authority and see if they agree.
And we already make them all go through conservation, so...
They do.
Yeah.
They all have to go through conservation.
I mean, somebody who wants to put up, let's say, a 2,000 square foot building and make it an antique store, they shouldn't have to go through a lot of that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What about regulating by size?
I mean, even if you have a small addition that you're doing to an existing building and you're putting in a retail store on the end of the building or something.
Or you're expanding your existing building.
That's not really, you know, causing any great shakes with regard to the type of activity they're worried about.
Right.
You're putting 100 square feet on an existing building.
And stormwater is always an issue, and you can't have so much leave the property, and we all know about that. And the water authority's biggest worry is anything to do with chemicals or something that would pollute the water table.
Right.
So, I mean, even a mom-pop store goes in, if they're using contaminated stuff in their store, they're going to have to answer to it then. You know, if it's a mom-and-pop store and they sell 10 different kinds of antifreeze, never going to happen, but you never know. They would still have to answer to the containment and safety standards for the building.
Well, I always have concerns about grocery stores because... there's a lot of stuff that goes on inside a grocery store that can lead to water contamination.
Well, people discount the amount of chemicals that are in a grocery store.
Yeah, well, plus the food preparation with the oils and the bakery and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of things going down a drain that can contaminate water.
Well, our supermarket has a brand new system, so we'll see. That was the dumbest system I ever saw, the old one.
Where?
Key Food.
Oh.
The Grand Union. They had the mound for the bank, and then Key Foods was in the ground, and they were linked together. Where do you think it was going? Why do you think Key Foods in ground failed? Nothing made it up to the mound.
Never made it there, right?
Nope.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that I was kind of concerned about that we might have to look at and discuss is, you know, the depletion of groundwater supplies. I mean, that's really a subjective kind of area. I mean, it says no use shall be permitted in paragraph D3. No use shall be permitted which would result in a depletion of groundwater supplies such that neighboring properties may have a reduction in their water supply.
Well, that eliminates city sewers.
How would you approve that?
That eliminates city sewers.
I mean, how are you going to eliminate, that? I mean, how do you prove that you're not taking water from neighboring property owners?
There's equations they can go by for whatever the water usage is. Each well is designed for a certain amount of usage, and it can happen. When they put Park Place development in below my old house, I had to drop my pump 10 more feet to get water because they took the water table down with the new houses.
Yeah, those are the kind of things where, you know, I think we're going to have to be reasonable in applying it, and the water authority is going to have to be reasonable in their comments because they're allowed to comment.
Yeah, and so far, even like look at the equipment supplier that went up on 6, they had no comment.
Right.
You know,
and he's directly across from the aquifer.
Right. He's not in it, but he's directly across from it.
I did notice on the first nice day, a couple of weeks ago, that there was no equipment left. It was all rented out.
Yeah, now he's constantly busy.
Well, he's using the entire property too. He did bring the lift over and put the rope back where your flag
did.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I think they, you know, in looking at this, the changes that were made were relatively insignificant. The only issue is how to apply it for those little projects and whether or not we get comments back from the Water Authority saying that, well, we want a hydrogeologic study. If they want a hydrogeologic study for every little mom and pop store that goes in, you're going to have the development in Milford Township is going to cease.
Yep. Well, how's it written? That we have to listen to them? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it says they're allowed to comment.
Comment, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We'll have to see. But, I hear the first one, I thought they were fair enough saying they had no comment.
Yeah, and the comments have to be received within 30 days after they get the notice.
And there you're dealing with equipment that carries fuel, oils, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That would be more disturbing to them, I would think, than a mom and pop store that had nothing like that in it.
I think the reason it's not that disturbing to them is because it's below what they believe is the trouble zone.
Yeah, it is below. It's below the springs.
Yeah. But see, water's kind of funny. It runs in different directions.
Yeah, it doesn't all run downhill.
Yeah.
Goes to the point of least resistance, that's for
yep,
sure.
Least resistance.
Yeah. Water's funny.
You build that's up pressure, it will go uphill if there's least resistance going uphill.
Hey, rivers run uphill.
Yeah.
Well. All right. So then the Board of Supervisors, the meeting the 21st, we can discuss the rest of what we want with
yes.
that.
Yeah.
Okay. So
And I think they did schedule for 7:15, so it's going to be right at the beginning.
Okay. Mixed use zoning amendment. Where are we with that?
We haven't really done anything on that.
We are waiting on that for the multi-use, because then to go from multi-use to mixed use is in a far jump, right?
So I think what we're waiting for on that is to see where this thing goes with AutoZone and DEPG.
Hell, in my conversation with Carmen today, the options were, if they're going to keep that building a residence, which we cannot find any permits on, that they could split the lot front and back and have enough property to do what they want to do, but they would have to give an easement from the Dollar General entrance
and
to the back of the lot.
That's kind of what I suggested in the beginning.
Yeah, but then aren't we creating a flag lot, which is not appropriate to what we want done?
And we actually have no flag lots in our saldo.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's considered a flag lot when the entrance isn't even off the main road anymore.
The entrance there is via an easement, and I think there's going to have to be.
The entrance to that property isn't even off of 209, it's off of
Dollar General. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So right. It's an easement. The access is off of Dollar General.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm sure Dollar General doesn't want their access overburdened.
Well, the final answer was they're coming in, they're going to be tearing that building down.
Both buildings?
Yep. The garage too with the apartment in it.
That's the smartest thing to do. Tear it down.
He's got to do it anyway if he's going to build a restaurant back there. Because that's where supposedly, I think, the I think it might have been the septic was going over in that area.
It's a lot of restaurants, isn't it?
Yeah.
Within a 1 mile radius?
That always was, that was a restaurant for 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was the end at the edge of the forest.
Mm-hmm. I think I actually was there.
I ate there a couple times.
They had good food.
It was not cheap.
Yeah.
No, it was not cheap.
No.
So
it was very pricey.
So is this mixed use amendment overlapping into, what are we going to call this other?
Multi-use.
One? Multi-use.
Multi-use.
I still haven't heard anything about the acreage size for this multi-use. How do we limit how many businesses are put on that kind of a piece of property?
Well, that's one of the things we're discussing. And I had talked to Andy about it, and I believe I talked to Tony about it, too. In our zoning, we had a definition for clustered commercial development. But it also said that commercial cluster development, it had to meet zoning. And the biggest issue I have with it, if we're going to allow cluster on smaller lots, I would like to see the perimeter of the property meet the setbacks or buffer zones, or setbacks and buffer zones. I can't see, because on their plan that they brought in, I see that one parking lot's like 2 feet off the property line. Well, I think the setback should include the property, the parking lots, all and any built structure or
any
lot improvement section of at all has to be set in the setbacks beyond the, you know.
It can't be anything other than landscaping.
Right. Anything other than land and landscaping.
Right.
Anything
other than they can develop it to be, achieve grades and stuff like that. But there has to be the buffer zone.
Right.
Has to be
the buffer zone.
Not permeable.
That's number one of my biggest concerns, because once you get in cluster development, now you got light blight, you got a lot of noise. Why do you want that against the neighboring properties, even if they're commercial? You know what I'm saying?
Well, if the commercial property has the same type of use.
What was Tony going to say?
I think the big concern is in an area where not all properties in that developmental district are used for commercial purposes. There's residences, and that's the biggest problem. Is where you have one of these things going in close to a residential property.
Well, right. but so ultimately, are you going to allow more businesses on this than you would if it was subdivided appropriately? Do you see what I'm
saying?
That's
the idea of it. That's the
No. That was never our idea. Our idea was let them be closer together, but the overall property had to match
right. What
it would be as if they were individual. In other words, we have 30,000 square foot on housing. Well, we'll let you go to a quarter acre, but between that and the open land that you have left or recreational area, it has to equal that 30,000 square foot per home.
But
same thing in commercial.
That goes to the purpose of having this cluster. The whole purpose is to avoid what you just said, Bob, where they have the parking lot 2 feet away from the next door property.
Right.
They should be developing it so that there's a larger buffer between the properties, not a smaller one, because you're giving up the buffers that they would have had to meet between the businesses.
Right. That's the point exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, and I understand that. But then, are they gonna be allowed to have more than if they subdivided it according to the ordinance?
I would say no, because that's what we were just talking about. If a business is an acre,
Well, they have 20 acres. They have 20 acres, right?
So, yeah, they got 20 acres.
Technically, if they divide it into 21-acre lots, they can have 20 businesses.
No, because they need room for septic.
Okay.
And they're putting in one septic system, one community septic, which is probably going to take up, like, I don't know, 7 acres?
Seven and a half acres, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was almost 8, yeah.
Yeah, so now you're looking at what's left. Now, instead of 20, now you got 12.
Yeah, but if you subdivide, you have to have accesses, and like, if you're not going to get...
Everything's interior.
Right.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Now we can get this... We're going to wind up with more on the property than we would have if they're just subdividing it.
I have no doubt that.
Why? How do you figure that?
Because if you're doing lot coverage, basic lot coverage.
Yeah.
Okay. They can cover up to 75% of the lot with impervious surface.
With the supervisor's permission, otherwise it's 65.
Right, 60% of the lot.
Let's say they use the 65%.
Let's say they do 65%. Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be more than if they had to subdivide these into individual lots, because they can put more than five or six. They're proposing five. They could put more than that even if they change the use of the business. I'm just looking at it from the standpoint of...
You're talking about the septic, but if it was 20 lots, you're going to have 20 smaller buildings with 20 smaller septic systems.
Right.
So in essence, you're...
Yeah, that you could do that.
Right.
But I think that's what he's getting to.
Right.
I don't know that the number of businesses increases.
No. I think the number of businesses is probably going to stay.
It's not going to get any bigger. It can't get any bigger because the septic won't allow it.
The way that the math probably works out, it's probably plus or minus maybe one or so, right? Depending on if they built these buildings to be individual businesses with inside and broke them down. Maybe you might, but that's not how it's proposed.
No, but as long as the separation is within safety standards and all that, because if you had a strip mall, you got the same problem.
That's what I'm saying. The way they're structuring it is not like a strip mall. It's not like seven businesses in a row in three buildings getting them.
My whole point is this. Western down in Westfall, where you go in the access road, and then you have one hotel, then you have another business, then you have the sewer, then you have another business and another hotel. It's the same access road for all of them.
But that's access road
with individual uses. This is a common
entrance
paved area for all the businesses when it's said and done. So that's what I'm saying. This gets to be almost so that you can't understand it or anticipate what's going to happen from our point of view is what I'm getting at. It winds up to be what can the lawyers and the engineers dream up that we can't do anything about is what this is coming down to. So wouldn't there be a simpler formula to say you have to have so much open land and you can only do one unit per every 2 acres or one unit per every, and then you can have something that's reasonably sized and allow them to do it. Do you see what I'm saying?
But then are you dealing with individualized lots? What do you
No, that's if they want to, If they want to have five lots there, then they have to have so many acres in order to do that. Then you take the septic out, you take the stuff. So if you've done that, you take 8 acres out, they have 12 acres left. Now they're going to be a maximum of 6. If you go with 2 acres. Do you see what I'm saying? There has to be a simple formula to say, this is how many businesses they can have and we're done. That's what I meant by closing the door before. You know, otherwise, where does this end is what I'm getting at.
And that has to be something that needs to be discussed. And I think Andrew and Tony Walter are going to have to discuss that. The problem we have as a municipality is that we allow commercial businesses on 1 acre. So.
No, and I understand.
If you took the 8 acres for the septic and whatever he needs for stormwater detention and
buffer zone,
he might be left with 10 acres, which would be 10 businesses.
Yeah, because we already have a standard set for that.
We do have a standard
but
set.
But with the size and the use and the, and what you're going to do, can you actually get 10 businesses on 10 acres when you do it that way?
It depends on the size of the building.
Depends on the size of the building and what the use is and how many parking spots.
But you see, now we're back to that where we were before. Now this is getting so convoluted the average guy can't understand it.
Right.
Right.
This is.
Well, what we're doing is we're playing the game in front of us that an applicant or a lawyer is going to bring in.
Because
so we're just trying to prepare for that. I get that.
What you don't want is what they love to do, and that's that big sprawling strip mall with all the businesses out front and all the parking out front and everyone's trying to get through and figure out how the hell to get in and out of the place.
Well, because of the topography and where they have it, the way they've got it, they really need to spread that out.
Yeah.
They don't have the straight line to do a strip mall kind of a thing and have it turn out with what
they don't.
Not unless they wanted to bring in tons of fill.
Well, or drop it down.
I don't see how they're not going to be able to bring in fill on that job.
Yeah, they're going to have to anyway.
They have to drill it up to at least the road.
Yes. Would actually have to be higher than the road to take the runoff away from the building.
Mm-hmm. That was my biggest problem. I had to build it up about 8 feet. To deal with the water issues.
So, and when we're dealing with contractors like this, and Mr. DePetris brings up Smithfield Gateway or one of these other things that he's trying to say are such good development, does that open the door for us to ask him about other developments that he's done?
Well,
I think he was open to that.
He's very proud of some of those. So I would say that if you are aware of other things he's done that aren't so good, you might be able to say, well, what about this one?
Well, it's my understanding we're not able to start it that way.
Right.
Well, he opened the door to it when he brought in the maps of the one that
just going to say, he's already opened that door.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
He keeps saying how nice that Smithfield Gateway is. To me, the only thing that's there is the hospital, and that's not part of it.
No.
Now they have a Wawa.
The Wawa is open.
But there's a drugstore.
But isn't it appropriate when somebody does that, did you ask them? That's basically coming for something and asking, giving a recommendation. What about all the other projects that you've done, Mr. DePetris? Please list those.
He did list the one down in Broadheadsville with the Lowe's and the Marriott and all that.
I'm aware of that one. That was all.
That was the one that he came.
He's got projects started all over the place. It's not just
he does.
Not just there. So,
And then the other thing is, Andrew said he got answers for how to land, how ownership. He's got that all answered for now, between talking to them and his own people that do it. So he said he's got a good grasp on that.
I agree, Kevin. I agree with you in this respect that whatever we put in the ordinance, we have to be careful with, because it does set the stage for somebody else with more land, and they're out there. There are some parcels that are fairly large in the DD zone to come in with the ultimate logistical type of development, which would be somewhat industrial, somewhat the distribution center, and somewhat retail.
Yeah, and you'll have three clusters on one big piece of property, all serviced from the same thing. Where are we getting good setbacks? Where are we getting land that's really, where do we begin and end, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We have a number in our zoning already that's 1 acre per business. What they do with that to meet their standards is
right, but can't you apply, when you're doing a separate ordinance or a separate section of the ordinance, can't you apply different standards?
Yes.
Yeah. They're still going to have to meet the performance standards. And that was what I was trying to get through during our meeting with the, when all three attorneys were there. That was my point. It's like, you still need to meet the lot coverage. You still need to meet all the state permitting. You know, this isn't something that you can just willy-nilly design so that you can do it any way you want. And there's issues about access. I mean, if the access is such that because of the number of businesses, it increases the traffic flow, then there might be additional need for a traffic light. And who's, you know, we're responsible for the cost of maintaining that light. PennDOT will certainly put it in, but we're responsible for the cost of that light. And so normally what we do in other jurisdictions is we have an agreement with the developer, his successors, and assigns that they're going to pay, you know, we'll maintain it, but you're paying the cost.
Yes.
And those bulbs are not cheap. Ask Palmyra Township. They have four red lights now.
And then the other issue I have with it is the hotel.
Yeah.
Because
I think it's dumb to have a hotel next to two other hotels that are already in existence. But that's just a business decision.
It's a business decision, but what do you do when the hotel fails?
Yeah.
I mean, past experiences, when a hotel fails, they turn it into condos.
Make it housing.
Yeah. And it makes it housing. So we can't stop that. I mean, we can make it a condition, I understand. And if they agree to it, that it only be transient forever, that's what it is. But the minute it goes under and they got nothing, they can't do anything with it, they're going to go to court and the court's going to award it to them. Right?
Right. And that's the beauty of him building a hotel, because he can someday change it to residential.
Right. And that's what I'm looking at. Because right now we know the county... The county's pushing for low-income residential.
I don't know what his intentions are, because who he's talking to, whether it's Sheets or Wawa or Envo, they're not businesses that like to have hotels and stuff like that around them. They want fast food and convenience.
Right.
They want the guy to come in and get out.
Well, I just think it's funny that they did away with the condos, and now we got a hotel, which can easily be turned into condos.
Right. But the way they described it was leasing.
And even transient in nature, you have to be careful they're going to say, hey, it's short-term rentals. It's the same as a hotel.
Right.
Yeah, that's how they approached it, yeah. Because they said they came right and said that. That's going to be, would be.
I mean, we can put a condition on it that nobody stays there longer than even 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, longest, whatever we set, and they can agree to it, and they have to abide by it, but the minute it doesn't work, no matter what we said, if they take it to court, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
So I'd rather try
to... I still think he's better off just building the condos.
Well, that's where we had him at, right? I mean, he started out with 300 apartments, and we got him down to 40 condos. But at least the condos is privately owned.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand what his thought process is, but that's why I'm not...
Well, that's what I told you. The county's pushing for low-income housing on that property.
Yeah, that's what they want.
And they're saying they want to hire the handicap, they want to have them live there so they can work for the county. Because they, you know, don't have a long travel. Because of the commute. And they could work, they could walk over to Benedaf. This is kind of like, or roll over to Benedaf, whatever.
Yeah, the health facility that he was negotiating with has, they're almost finished with their facility that they're building up here in Omaha Township. So.
Yeah, but they're not going there. Now they're going up on, they're going up by PennDOT.
Well, no, they're going to have this one and 739.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not even interested in the Beaufort area now.
Nope, they're not going in Dingman's either. That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. They're just going to do the one on 739 and that's it.
That's the danger. The danger is that hotel, because that could very easily be, you know, happens when hotels go out of business?
It may not be 80 apartments, but it could very easily be 40. And I think that's where the number comes to. Because usually what they'll do is take two rooms, make one, and make it an apartment.
Yeah, 80 rooms translates very easily to 40 condo units.
Well, it depends where you are. Down in Philly, they kept them hotel rooms, and they were apartments.
Well, that's,
and when they left the door open, there was 10 people in the bed.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I was just in a hotel 2 weeks ago. It was 60 rooms, and almost every room had a kitchenette in it, and it was...
Yeah, I stayed down in Philly at some rat hole once. 2 o'clock in the morning, I was laying on the floor thinking there was gunfire outside. I forgot. Welfare people wake up at 12 in the afternoon, and they're up all night throwing fireworks off the balcony. First.
Yeah, I think that's a real danger. I don't know how to deal with that. And hopefully we'll have some conversations with Andy and...
I don't know how you deal with it, because if the applicant comes in with a genuine application that meets all of our standards, and how do you deal with?
I already talked to Andy about
a what if.
And the only way you can do it, you can't talk about the what if.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You can't.
The only way you can do it is in the conditional use, get rid of the hotel and have them put something else there.
I understand. That's exactly what I'm saying. If the applicant comes in and meets all the standards, our hands are tied.
Yep.
Well, we beat this one up enough then, I guess, huh?
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
I agree, Kevin.
Pike Regional Act.
I heard nothing.
You heard nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing. There's nothing on the DEP website either, so.
Okay.
Well, they're just moving forward with...
The only latest thing I did hear is they're pushing through the senators and the representatives and everything to push PennDOT, I'm not PennDOT, to push the DEP to approve something.
Does DEP actually have an application in front of them now?
They do. They have an application in front of them. They have the 537 plan. And knowing them, they'll use their entire 120 days to review it for consistency with the regulations and then ask for additional time.
When I talked to Scott Novotnik, he said, maybe towards the end of summer you'll see something.
Okay.
He might get to it by the end of summer.
Right.
Listen, I have an application pending there. it's a very small little planning module. And Todd's working on it, and Scott is working on it also. And it's been 11 months, and I'm like, really? Do we really have to wait a year for, you know, 12 EDUs, like 4,800 gallons of sewage, and I got to wait a year to get an approval? Is this really right?
Yeah, it's out of your today.
Well, I told Todd the last time I talked to him, if I don't hear anything by the end of May, I'm calling everybody up. I'll have everybody at your door. Olsimer, Rosemary Brown, McCormick, everybody. I'll have everybody there. So I said, hopefully it'll be done. It's a year.
Yeah.
1 year.
They take them way long on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, May 21st is a year.
I sent them a mailer with a return receipt. It's been 3 weeks. I didn't even get the return receipt yet.
Mm-hmm. It's sitting on someone's desk.
Yep.
I don't have anything more.
Any public participation?
Don't all speak at once.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
That's how all meetings should be.
Motion to adjourn.
I have a second.
Care, I'll second.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks,
thank
you, Tony.
Have a nice night.
You too. All right, I've had enough. My brain's hurting.
All right. Well, we'll just leave these for the next batch. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to kill more trees.
If you want, take the Water Authority comments with everything I wrote on it to take a look at it.
Which is?
I gotta put my glasses on. That's that one. It's for the
407. Where is it?
It was in here. Oh, here it is. Yes.
That's your comments?
Those are my comments, yeah. Wherever you see it's darkened.